welcome fans this to this week's edition of The Lockdown featuring T Cub and the Boho.
Yes, sir.
Petty Hulk is always in the building, and we have a special guest this evening. Former Cavalier great Assis Dubois has graced us with his presence. What's good, family?
What's going on, family, man? Hey, I appreciate the invite, and I'm ready to go.
No doubt, man. We're really looking forward to chopping it up with you. But first, we'll roll into a review of the Virginia North Carolina game, where Virginia came on top 44-41, defeating the number 15 ranked UNC Cavaliers. Hawk, it did my heart good to see us beat a team from North Carolina, because you know that's a little personal to a Carolina boy. So tell me, Doc. So tell me, fam, what did you see?
Nah, you got to start it off there, because you from Carolina. I'm going to let you go.
Oh, yeah. I can do that. So look, you know, it was uphill battle as we go into this game, because Carolina is such an explosive team offensively. And for a minute there, it looked like it was going to be bombs over Baghdad, because they were just raining those bombs with with that quarterback and those receivers. But the Cavalier defense did a good job of shutting down the run game, really making Carolina become one dimensional. And then offensively, it's the first time I've seen the Cavaliers really have an identity of running the football, using that experienced offensive line that they have taken, you know, that Bronco was come hell or high water. He was going to develop it. Him, 2J, and the crew, and they took advantage of that that effective and experienced line, and they ran the ball, drained the clock, scored touchdowns. The defense got turnovers, sacks, and you know we saw a little bit of the havoc that we haven't seen in a while. And so Virginia did a lot of complimentary things to get this win.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And the thing that jumped out to me about this game was you had a team in North Carolina that's very balanced, 249 yards rushing, like 260 passing. So it was like pick your poison. And then you had UVA, who's known to be pass happy and never, you know, give the running game a chance, like consistently give it a chance. And when you look at the game and you break down the stats, Howard threw for 400, but we limited it to under 100 yards, and we were the team that was more balanced. You know what I'm saying? Like 200 plus passing, and that being able to run the football, like you said, taking off 9 minutes of the fourth quarter, you know, with that one drive was the difference, because they got hot late. You know, we built a good enough, you know, a big enough lead, 21 points. We needed that cushion because they started clicking. And I think he only had like two incompletions in the second half by itself. You know what I'm saying? So it just showed that when we're balanced, we tough to beat. We had that bend but don't break type of mentality. We forced them to 3 field goals. They missed one, and that was the difference as well. It was just like last year in Chapel Hill. It was like playing arena football. You always talk about stops, and if you make them attempt a field goal, that's considered a stop. But in arena football, you want 3 stops in the game, period. That's the goal.
Right.
You don't care about yards. You just want 3 stops, and that's what we got essentially, because they punted the ball a couple of times. They turned the ball over a couple of times, and we came out with that fake punt where everybody knew that it was a fake punt because everybody on film pointing at 99, and he made a play. I don't know, the backside dude, I gave him the Lamont Your Big Dummy Award, because he was the main one pointing out that Keaton was right here. And as soon as they set up the ball and Keaton goes left, he busts tail over there, and he was the reason why Keaton got the dig on first down, because he did too much. So he got the Lamont Your Big Dummy Award.
Yep.
Trying to do too much. Hawk, what'd you see, fam?
Honestly, I seen the offense become themselves again. They were moving the ball, throwing the ball, seeing the receivers catching the ball a lot. And then you got we had Tony, the tight end, he getting the end zone. You had Henry, the receiver, getting the end zone. So I just felt as though BA was out there doing his thing, sharing the ball the right way. And Coach and I had a great game plan for UNC.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Agree wholeheartedly. Now let's get into you. Enough about that. We got the dub. We get ready for Louisville this week. But let's talk about Assis Dubois real quick. Let's take it back to DePaul Catholic High School.
Yes, sir.
You know, your junior and your senior year. You played quarterback first though, before you moved to receiver. So talk about playing quarterback and then making that transition over to wide receiver.
Honestly, yeah, I had never played receiver until my junior year, midway through my junior year of high school. So I was mainly just quarterback, and that's what I was focusing on. With the transition from quarterback to receiver, I feel as though it wasn't that difficult to me, because me being a quarterback, I knew what the receiver had to do. I knew where I wanted him for me to throw him the ball. So I just felt as though as long as I can keep that chemistry with me, I'll be able to have a great connection with the quarterback. And I mean, that my junior year, that's when I exploded. I think I had maybe 8 touchdowns as a receiver. And from there,
seven. Yeah, I mean, 30 receptions, 694 yards, 7 touchdowns.
Don't worry, he got your stats. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. I got it on lock, fam. I got it on lock.
Yep, yeah, that was a great year.
So were you a running quarterback or could you spin it?
I was both, honestly. I was. That's why you've seen a couple times we had a couple trick plays for me to throw the ball at UVA. Right. But, yeah, right. My high school quarterback, every time I go back and, like, speak to the team, he called me the young Randall Cunningham because I could run and I could throw the ball down the field, too.
Nice.
So that was a great, great comparison from him.
And you're a lefty, right?
I actually ambidextrous, but I was throwing the ball ready.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, good business. He's LeBron James, huh? People don't know LeBron James actually right with his left hand, and Michael Vick actually right with his right hand.
Oh yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. So then, your senior year, rolled up 45 receptions, 740 yards, and 12 touchdowns. So you was doing the damn thing.
Living in the paint.
Yes, sir. Senior year was definitely just a head down and get to it, because I committed to UVA early. Like that summer of my senior year. So I wasn't worried about no recruiting. Okay. I was just worried about just ready to ball. And I think two of those touchdowns.
Okay. All right.
Two of those 12 was rushing touchdowns too.
Oh, all right. Okay, yeah. Player, I see. Ooh,
did you play? Hold on, dog. Don't be trying to correct Cub. Like,
no, I wasn't trying to correct him. I just let him know that I can get busy with the ball too if it was rushing.
You want to make sure you had a little bit of Percy Harvin and you want to let him know that.
I don't know if Percy's on that level. I feel like I was Vic back then. Vic with a little bit of Cam in me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, he definitely from Jersey talking. He talking real spicy. Like another
me?
Dude I know from Jersey that's in the battle rap arena. He talking real spicy, hey, just like him.
Gun titles.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Not the suit, sir.
Yes, sir.
Wow. So after that senior year, though, first team all Metro, first team all Big North United, first team all Passaic County, first team all league, first team all state. Bruh, you was clowning, bruh.
Yes, sir.
You had all the accolades. Three. So they rated you a 3-star prospect. Did you play any other sports besides football?
I ran track.
What'd you run?
The 4.
The 400?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you a man then. Ooh, yes, that's sir. That's
grown. Yeah, that's grown man.
David Walker ran the 4 also. He was just on last week. So we got 2 straight men that ran track. Yeah. And when you run that quarter mile, you a man.
Yeah, yeah,
so you
believe
got to be strong for that.
Oh, believe that.
What was your fastest time in that on a relay?
My fastest time was like 49, because I ran my sprint track freshman, sophomore, and a little bit of junior year. But then after that, I would just focus on football.
That's impressive, bro.
Yeah, bro.
I mean, my family's a track family, so.
Yeah, that's impressive because, you know, making that transition from football to go to track and running the 400, that's basically just more power because you don't really get the chance to, you know, strategically attack the back, the back stretch, then push through the 300, then dig the left. You know, I'm speaking track terms right now, but as a football player, we just learn how to go. And most of the time they tell us, hey, stride out the back stretch. And most of the time we just go.
Exactly.
And we just be bopping our head at the end, fighting and biting.
Yep. Putting the head back, looking at the sky.
So 49 is very impressive for a football player because we're not considered track guys. We just muscle
at all. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that 400 be ass and elbows, though, fam.
Yes, exactly. That's it.
You got cottonmouth by the end of that.
Yes, sir.
And then you fall. Then yes, you fall sir. Out. You just fall when you're done.
Yeah. As soon as you get, as soon as you get to the turf, you're out.
Yep. Yep. Legs like, yo, I'm done, fam. I got you to this grass area, so we good.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you know the best thing about the 4x4 relay? It's the last event.
Yeah. Hey, 4x4 was the relay to be on. The four by one, it was okay because that's all the fast, but the 4x4, that's what everybody came to watch.
Mm-hmm. Everybody stand up, everybody wake up from taking their naps. Man. Yes, sir. Yep. At the end, let me get my trail mix and let's get the hell out of here.
Wow. So Hawk, so on the low though, this Joker played DB too, though.
You was Richard Sherman out there.
That Joker played DB. He played DB. That Joker had that Joker had 9 career INTs in high school, fam.
Ooh. I played safety, but my junior year, like the last 4 games, I played corner because I was starting corner. He got hurt.
Hmm.
Yeah, I had a couple O's for DB too, but I was more of an offensive guy.
I'm like, 97 career receptions, just under 200,000 yards. 2,000 yards.
20, God damn.
Hey, 26 touchdowns, 9 picks, 79 career tackles. So just a well-rounded athlete, bro.
That explains a lot, too, cuz. It explains a lot.
Yeah.
And I might be jumping ahead, but it explains a lot as far as like his route running ability, his ability to stem defensive backs now.
Mm-hmm.
He played quarterback, he played receiver, he played safety, so he understands how to identify coverage. Then he got a chance to play corner. So now I really understand how he would set guys up with a stem. You know, breaking down his game, I just be like, damn. Because he's not going to run by you, but he will run by you. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
he how to stem you and stuff.
Right. Because it'd be like, why is he always open?
Yeah.
Always open. Yeah. It makes perfect sense. So mm-hmm. when it came down to, you mentioned that you committed to UVA early. What other schools were really recruiting you hard?
It was UVA, Boston College, Ohio State, Kentucky, and Michigan was coming in late because I had 3 other guys from my high school team commit to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a big Jersey and Michigan year. It was coming in late. And the thing is, the reason why I picked UVA, when I went down there, it just felt like home. And I visited Ohio State, visited Penn State. My mom just fell in love with UVA. And then one thing she said, she said I was not going to Michigan because it was too far away. And I mean, UVA was far enough, but it was close enough. So I felt as though that was the best opportunity I had. And I mean, I was able to get on the field my freshman year and just be able to grow.
Right. So when you got there, you know, some guys struggle with the transition. You know, I mean, we talked to Charles Snowden. He said, man, he got there. He was just like, okay, do I really belong? You know what I'm saying? Did you feel that you belong once you got there? You're like, okay, I got some work to put in.
I felt as though like I belong because freshman year early in camp, Coach and I had a, gave me a shout out because I was the only freshman really able to stick the plays and able to run with the ones while we were in camp. So with that compliment, that just gave me a boost of motivation to just keep going. I feel like I belong playing in the ACC on a UVA football team at that point.
Gotcha. Did you go blind after your first workout too?
No, definitely did. Our first workout. That freshman class, it was tough. We had some brutal workouts that year. Yep, and on top of strikes too. So that it was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was it though when you know, and we got to ask this because fans always want to not only the draft, but as far as like when you talk to your homeboys who also incoming freshmen at other schools, right? And they showing you all this issue gear they got, and you got a white T-shirt. Or a black T-shirt. How was that?
It was crazy because honestly, like me coming from high school, I'm like, oh, we about to go to college. I'm about to have all the gear and everything. Mm-hmm. We come there, we got tube socks, Hanes T-shirt, and black Nike sweats. I mean, black Nike shorts. So we looking around like this is our gear we about to work out in. I mean, you got all the upperclassmen, they got the V-Sabers on. they just rocking it. So yeah. They like, we gotta earn our colors. So it was just weird. We was like, I don't know if this is a joke or this is just them bringing us in, but mm-hmm. came to reality, and we just had to put our heads down and just earn everything we had in the program.
Mm.
Interesting. So you, Mike London recruited you. That coach and staff. Who was your primary recruiter?
Larry Lewis and Coach Higgins.
Okay. All right. So yep. Then, how was that knowing you committed to those guys, and then all of a sudden they've got Bronco and his staff coming in? What did that give you any reservation or feeling like, okay, maybe I should reopen my recruitment? Should, you know, because you didn't really know these guys. How was that for you?
Honestly, at the beginning, when I heard that Coach London and everybody was leaving, I was basically just sitting back and seeing who we were going to hire as a coach. And then seeing Coach Mendenhall, I looked him up and everything, seeing his credentials and everything. But then once I found out Coach Higgins was still going to be there, I felt as though my main recruiter and the person who I grew to know, he wasn't going anywhere. And I felt as though it was the same. It just felt the same because Coach Higgins still there. He recruited me. And I felt as though me going in, I'm going to be playing for the same guy that recruited me. So I felt as though that was just home. I didn't need to reopen my recruitment, and I just stay with UVA.
Okay. Makes sense. So then you come in that first year. You actually appeared in 12 games. You had two starts. You had 8 catches, 99 yards. You guys finished 2-10 that year. How difficult was that?
Honestly, that was very difficult because coming from a high school program who didn't really lose that much, it was eye opening because you had a certain group of guys that was just eager to do anything to get that next win, but then you had a certain group of guys who were just like, they're just playing just to play. But as the year grew older, you've seen a lot of guys, they just coming together and just like, regardless of our record, regardless of what happens at the end of the season, we're just going to keep growing. And I mean, it came out for the best. But I mean, the next year we went 6-6.
Yeah.
And the next year we went 7-5. And then last year we went 8-5. I mean, it was just stepping stones. Like they said, progress isn't going to happen overnight. You just got to keep pushing, and it's going to eventually turn over. And that's one thing Coach Mendenhall told us. He told us to not worry about what's happening now. Worry about what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
Right.
No don't doubt. You change yourself. I see. I think y'all won 8 games and then 9 games.
Okay, yeah, 8 games and 9 games. Don't change
yourself. Because I got a question, bro. Because so you happened to come in when they were trying to establish the culture, and you just talked about how you wasn't used to losing, and you only win 2 games. Not to be a chatty patty, but I'm gonna be a chatty patty. Like we ain't gonna name names, but when it came to guys just playing and not worried about losing. Was it more the younger guys challenging those older guys like, dog, like we ain't won but this many games. This like y'all cool with this? Like, was it more of that or some older guys were showing you that they didn't like losing either and it wasn't the norm for them as well?
You had a handful of older guys and then you had a handful of young guys too that were just basically, since they were younger guys, they weren't really listened to, but you saw them like pushing to try to get their chance on the field. You had those older guys who just were like, some of them were just like, I mean, I'm the older guy. I've been here longer. So whether if I catch the ball, drop the ball, I'm not playing well or I am playing well, I'm still going to be on the field. But then that's when Coach Mendenhall showed that he don't really care what year you are, how old you are. If you're the best person at that position and you're playing the hardest, he's going to put you on the field.
Did you ever hear an older guy, when y'all in the game, y'all might have a lead and the team might strike back and break even? Because everybody always feel like when you never been successful, if you're winning and a team fights back, you have that type of aura that guys are, oh, here we go again. And they stop believing they could win. And
we definitely had some instances with that. But I feel as though later in the year, we didn't really have that because the season was coming to the end. And then you had people just still playing their hearts out regardless or not. So I remember one game. It wasn't the 2-10 season. I think it was the 6-6 season.
Yeah.
We were playing Oregon. And I think we losing like 38-20.
Yeah.
And one of the Oregon players had asked Micah, why are we still playing so hard? And it was the fourth quarter and it was 38-20.
Mm.
And that just that just struck when Michael told us that in meetings, the next time we had meetings, he was like, if someone who's beating us can still see us still fighting and ask us why we're playing so hard, that's a stepping stone.
That's dope. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. dope, bro.
Yeah, that's that. But that's it, though. You know, because mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that you will know about a Mendenhall team is that they gonna fight you and fight you and fight you and fight you. Mm-hmm. And actually, that was the 2-10 season that okay. happened. You
play know, that so, Oregon, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yep. And so I mean, that was a tough game, but they felt you, you yeah, know. Exactly. They probably had the better talent at that point, you know, with a more established program. We were mm-hmm. just trying to change the culture, but mm-hmm. they felt it early, you know, and that speaks volume about, you know, the culture shift and the work that you guys were putting in too. Mm-hmm. So then 2017 rolls around, you appeared in 12 or 13 games, 5 starts, 16 receptions, 120 yards that year, scored your first collegiate touchdown versus Pitt. Talk to me about the transition from your first year and that offseason of work going into your second year.
The main thing was to basically get through my head that I wasn't a young guy anymore. I couldn't get away with me not knowing the players. I couldn't get away with making little mistakes. So I just basically had to tell myself that I'm an upperclassman now. They're going to be mm-hmm. giving me guys who are younger than me now and possibly looking up to me since I'm an upperclassman. So I had to do everything to be a leader for the younger guys and also be able to learn from the other leaders who are the older guys. Mm-hmm. So just between those things, I just had to basically buckle down and be able to keep that same motivation I had my freshman year. And just get better.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's great because you saw, once again, you saw you develop and you saw, you know, but you, it was like, we were still waiting for you to get to the next level of it though. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys, it was good that you guys had some success that year, the 6-6, you made it to the Military Bowl, got absolutely waxed in the Military yes. Bowl by Navy. you know what, and real talk, it seemed as though you guys were just happy to be there, happy to say that you were in a bowl game. I mean, mm-hmm. was that kind of how you took it as a player on the field?
I wouldn't say that that's the way I took it, but there's definitely a lot of people who were just happy to be there.
The gifts
as well. But then I feel as though what also happened was when Joe scored that opening kickoff, people automatically was like, thought like, oh yeah, the game is ours. We're playing against Navy, like we run the ball.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then after that touchdown, we went on to not score again. And then Navy put up 49 points. Mm-hmm. So that basically just was an eye opener. You can't overestimate anybody. Yeah. You can't go in there thinking like, all right, this team gonna do that because they run the ball that much, we're gonna be able to stop them. That wasn't the thing against Navy. They basically just put their heads down, regardless that we scored the opening kickoff and basically gave it to us.
Hey, yeah, foot to ass. That's exactly what they did.
And did something happen pregame, man, to give them extra motivation, put foot in your ass?
Honestly, I don't remember. I just remember a lot of us went out there and warmed up with no shirts on. I guess that
was your ritual. So I was used to doing that. Yeah. Yeah. That was your ritual. So
that wasn't different
for me to see.
At all.
It was about 20 degrees out that mug.
Man, he's a damn lunatic.
I think it was colder than 20 degrees.
did you at least put like cocoa butter Vaseline? Because you know cocoa butter and Vaseline to keep you a little bit. Well, no, that's a fake lie.
Definitely.
Put some Vaseline on your leg so you won't get cold.
You stay on that sideline for a good enough time, you're going to be cold.
Yes, sir.
Vaseline or cocoa butter or not.
No doubt. So then coming from that, I mean, you started, you guys finished that strong, but you know, you pee down your leg in a bowl game. Talk about that motivation. Talk about that motivation for the next year coming back. Now you're coming into your third year in the program. You need to step your game up. How did you prepare going into it? Because, you know, because what we were waiting for was we wanted to see Haas mature. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Both on and off the field.
Yep. Right.
Correct. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's safe to say, you know, a couple of things off the field that, you know, that were some immature things as we mm-hmm. all have done as college students. What did you do to move, you know, going into your junior year to kind of, it seems like, because it seems like the light switch went on.
After that. Honestly, I feel as though the spring game, my junior year, is what helped me take that bigger step. Like, I was taking a step there, but then in the spring game, to win the spring game, caught a fade ball over Darius Bratton. And just with all the emotions, I spiked the ball on top of him. You got a personal foul.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then that's when immediately I had accountability. I had to do 350 burpees. So, I mean, all the teams going crazy and everything. Then you see Coach Higgins pushing everybody out of the way. Like, no, don't celebrate with him. He just did some nonsense. And then Coach Middlehall made sure I had to do those burpees before I do anything. While everybody's outside signing autographs, having fun, I'm in here doing 350 burpees. And I mean, that just told me that act like I've been here before. Like, I scored touchdowns before. There's no need to act like that was my first time ever scoring a touchdown.
Right.
And ever since then, I was able to learn from that experience and always look back to there. And I mean, only thing I would do on the field is talk trash and get people head. But me showboating anything after that, it wasn't necessary. I just put my head down, made my plays, and got back to the huddle.
Yeah. And I concur, because I was right in the corner with my camera when you did that. And I actually just muted it because I didn't want to share that. Because the fact that I talked to Biscuit, I knew that, because I was always a fan of yours. I was a fan of yours. I think it was a Georgia Tech game when you caught that dig. Like plucked from the turf. And I told Biscuit, I was like, yo, I like Young Bull, but I think from the outside looking in, this is before we actually started talking, I was like, but I think he got a mouth on him, because I could just tell. I know a trash talker when I see one. I said, does that hurt him? I said, because I think that's a gift from the curse. And Biscuit was like, yo, Hulk, if you could talk to him, he got to learn how to channel that. Like, because that makes him great, but that could also deter him from reaching this greatness. And I remember when that happened, bro, and you ain't lying. Biscuit, like, broke. When Biscuit said, don't nobody celebrate one day, I felt like a parent, like, wait a minute. You talking about baby can't have no Christmas? Like, he can't have no Christmas, you know what I'm saying? Like, I felt bad for you. Like, I understood where Biscuit was coming from. But I felt so bad for you, dog. Like, damn, he mossed the hell out of Bratton. I'm talking about Bratton right there. This was Perk, first year, you know, first spring, too. So, yeah, it took a lot of balls for Biscuit to do that. And it helped him a lot, because I felt bad for you doing those burpees. I wanted to help, but I can't.
First of all, them damn burpees, though, man. You had to do 350.
Oh, and he had to jump. He ain't just had to just stand up. They got to do this too. They don't just stand the cup. You know, you could go down. I like you doing the push up. Just stand up. No, they got to actually like give a little hop and then go back down.
That's crucial.
Yeah,
that's right there. Like,
that's some get right. That's some get right for your ass, right?
Definitely. Definitely.
Everybody else getting interviewed. He out there.
Get his get right.
Yeah.
Well, but you know what? It the light switch went off, because, you know, that third year, you played in 13 games, 47 regular season receptions, 578 yards, 5 touchdowns. Then in the Belk Bowl, 5 catches for 57 yards. So, you know, you guys have truly turned the corner. You won your first bowl game. You finished 8-5, 4-4 in the ACC. And you look like you definitely took a step to the next level. And what I always loved about you, man, was, like, Hulk and I, we always try to identify, you know, who got that dog in them. You know what I'm saying? And so it was clear that you had that dog in you. I love the fact that you talk trash, because as a former trash talker myself, I'm sorry, I still talk trash. We could be playing tic-tac-toe. I'm gonna still talk. I could be losing and I'm gonna talk trash.
Yeah, because that's how I'm gonna win.
That's exactly. How I'm gonna win. You know what I'm saying? I'm on the golf course today and I'm talking trash. So, I mean,
that's one place I'm not talking trash, because I am trash. And I'm sorry. If you don't want me to talk trash, take me to play golf and I'm gonna be quiet. I'm gonna be humble.
Yeah, I don't need to be talking trash on the golf course, but you know, it is what it is. Once a trash talker, always a trash.
Always a trash talker.
It is. And so then, as you roll out of that year with hella momentum, you know, obviously you and Perk got mad chemistry. You're the leader of the receiving corps. As you roll into your fourth year, this is the year for you. How was the preparation going into that fourth year?
The preparation was at tip-top shape, because basically my junior year, just being behind O, learning all the antics that he did, using some of his stuff, even though he's a smaller guy, using some of his stuff actually helped me going into the senior year, be able to play the inside, play the outside, just be all over the place and be able to just work from anywhere and not just be one set position. And I just felt like I just put my head down, just tried to lead by example more than speaking it. And now that's why I told reporters and everything, it was like, what has been going through your head? I was like, well, after the game with Coach Higgins and everything, my motto is just shut up and play. You don't need to just keep talking to everything and just saying everything. Why not just show everybody everything about my play on the field?
True.
Did you get on the Lauren Higgins diet plan too? Because you lost weight.
Yep, definitely did. Yep.
We can't forget that. When we talk about the full preparation, because your body changed a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was always my whisper in your ear. Every time I saw you, I'd be like, yo, how you weight? Yep. How you weight? You'd be like, I'm good, big dog. I'm straight. And you'd be smiling.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good. I may wait today. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Like a boxer. I may wait.
Yeah. Definitely. That was a big thing.
Dude,
So elaborate on that, like with the added weight loss. Because even though you lost weight, it wasn't like you were like fat, because you go through the conditioning test. So you were in shape, but as far as like with the weight loss, how did it help you? Like, did it give you more energy? Did you feel like you had better hip flexibility? Like, elaborate more on that so fans know.
I just felt as though it just, like, mobility, period, whether it was hip mobility, ankle mobility, everything. And I just felt more light on my feet. I went from about 225 to 205. So being there, I just felt like I wasn't that big dude anymore. But in my head, I still was. I just was a little smaller, but I played with that same intensity. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you were still that big dog out there though, for real.
Definitely.
let's be clear.
Oh, he about to explain how you were still that big dog. Because let's be clear on one thing, because we don't hold nothing back here. No. Old ass is gone. Who gonna get them numbers?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
I need all that 4 and 5. I need all that.
You know, and I look at your senior year, bro. I mean, bro, 12 starts, 14 games. 65 regular season catches, 1,062 yards, 6 touchdowns. You know, then let's talk, when we talk about big time players making big time plays, when the lights are on. Okay, let's just run it. Let's just run it. Mm-hmm. FSU, 7 catches, 75 yards,
0 drops.
Notre Dame, 9 catches, 143 yards and a touchdown. Number 10 ranked Notre Dame. And fans, if y'all remember that game, they could not stop him. He mossed him. He did it to him every way that he possibly could.
Okay. Hermed him.
Miami, 7 catches, 93 yards.
0 drops.
UNC, 6 catches, 97 yards and a touchdown.
0
Virginia
drops.
Tech, 4 catches, 139 yards.
Stiff arm to your throat.
Clemson, number one ranked Clemson in the ACC championship. 10 catches, 130 yards, and 1 touchdown.
Get routed up to the safety that got drafted.
Orange Bowl, Florida. 10 catches, 83 yards, 2 touchdowns. So you finish this season one of 5 FBS receivers with 100 targets, 70% catch rate, 10 plus yards per target, number one in the nation with most catchable passes without a drop. Without a drop.
A single damn drop.
A single drop. You finished your career with 151 catches, 1,859 yards, and 12 touchdowns. That puts you number 8 career receiving yards on Virginia's all-time list, number 2 in single season receiving yards, and number 5 in career receptions. Bruh, you went absolute ham your senior year, bro.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
absolute ham. And bruh, it was so impressive, because you led a receiving corps. You know, it was you and Joe Reed. Y'all was the two dogs of the bunch. Then you had complimentary, you know, Terrell Janna. He right there with y'all. Then you had the young, y'all done set the tone for the young upstart, Billy Kemp Jr. Yep. You know, yep. And so you saw you know, because to me, that's you have when you lead and you have an impact on guys, you lead through your production, you lead by the way you go about your business. And so I think the way that you led, you know, it pushed Joe to raise his level, it pushed mm-hmm. Terrell to raise his level, and it made the young dudes be able to, you know, have an example of raising their level. You know, bro, y'all made it easy for Perk. Perk yeah. was like, all I know. The great thing that Perk did, he gave y'all opportunities. He believed in y'all. Y'all had the chemistry, and he let y'all go make plays. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was impressive, bro. It was impressive.
Yes, sir. It was definitely a fun time out there that last year. It was definitely some fun times.
Yeah, I mean, hey, so just talk about that whole last year, man. Just talk about that.
Honestly, I just felt like we just was on a high level last year. It was chemistry. We had our second year with Perk. And a lot of us that 2016 class that came in, we just felt as though we've been here since we've been 2-10. Why not go out on top? Mm-hmm. I mean, you had me, you had Joe Reed, you got Nick Grant, you got Jordan Mack, Bryce Hall, Brenton Nelson. You got a lot of key pieces to that team that from the 2016 class. And we just all stuck together and made sure we came out on a great year that year.
Did having Juan and Bryce, you know, back, you know, so you had them the same, you know, same year for a couple of years, but, you know, Juan leaves, you know, gets drafted. You got Bryce's top flight corner. Your preparation and practice with them during the week, how did you feel when you lined up in front of any corner?
Nobody can stop me. Honestly, I'm playing against the two best corners in the league. So why would anybody that stand in front of me could hold me at all? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I even in practice, I told them that. Mm. I told them that, like, especially Bryce, because Bryce one of those guys that's quiet. He'd like to smile.
Because he would jump up every time you came in one-on-ones. I would see, and you'd be able to, he'll move somebody, and he'll come press mm-hmm. you.
Because Bryce, me and Bryce always like to go with each other. We used to keep tabs on who would win the day. And mm-hmm. I mean, it probably like at the end of the year, it's about neck and neck. He had some good days. I had some good days. But it just prepared me to be the receiver I was that year. And I mean, the year before, when Juan was a great athlete. Yeah. Regardless, you could beat him bad. He got the recovery speed, mm-hmm. jump balls. You're gonna have to jump over him, even though he had a 40-something inch vertical. Mm-hmm. So it was just him and Bryce. And Bryce being that corner that's long. May not be as fast as Juan, but he's as athletic. He can jump like Juan and just
sound technique too.
Yep, he's a technician. That's what Bryce is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How does it feel, being a big body? So we got to know this because we you know no drops. Was it jugs? Did you put your hand in the rice bucket like Bruce Lee used to? Like, what did you walk around with the Mayweather grips? Like, what was it, bro? What size gloves do you wear? Like, what is it, man? No drops.
I'm gonna be honest. I didn't do jugs that much my senior year. Hmm. It was mainly we do rice bucket in the weight room, and then I would do farmer's walk and plate flips.
Hmm. See. Secrets.
Yeah, and when I was in there, Coach Grizz would always ask me what he'll tell me a weight to do, and I'll be like, "Nah, put 15 more pounds heavier on the farmer's walk," and I'll walk from one mirror to the other, and then sometimes I'll get fancy, but walk one walk all the way down to the other mirror and walk backwards to the other one, just be able to just make sure my grip strength was just at par, but then. Mm. Catching, I would just try to catch 150 passes with the ball every day just to be able to just get the ball back in my hand. But I didn't really do jugs that much. I'll do jugs here and there, but that wasn't a priority. It was more about grip strength mm-hmm. and hand and eye coordination.
Damn, bro, because you are a hands catcher. Like,
yes,
Tommy exactly. Herman, and he played with Herman. And mm-hmm. I played with Bitter McMullen was the same way. You are a hand catcher. You rarely let the ball – even on digs. So a lot of times when people run digs, when they a speed in dig, not just when they break down and dig, but when you do a speed in, most of the time you allow it to get to your bread basket. You want to catch it on your bicep so, so you can run. But you yep. always a dude who will actually just clamp and catch it, which a lot of guys don't do on digs because they know they could just use a bicep and their chest. Right. So that's why I always respected about you is that you pluck stuff. And the one that jumps out to me, bro, was the North Carolina game because Buddy – right there, and you not only took it from him, but you palmed it and mushed him out the way and just stared at him. That's when I knew. I was like, yo, he a damn cheat code. I need to ask him. You know
what I'm saying? He official.
Yes, sir.
It's official. Yeah, dude, it's funny, man. I was listening to you talk about you and Bryce go at it, because that's how Herman and I used to go at it. Mm-hmm. You know, we always wanted to go against each other in practice because we knew that we were going to push each other, you know. And I mean, people would ask me all the time, you know, who's the best receiver you play against, you know, during the season? I'm like, I'm going against Herman Moore, the best receiver in the ACC every day. And, you know, and he would say the same thing about me. And so, you know, my goal was to make Saturday easy for him. You know, for me, it was like, I can guard anybody because I'm guarding this absolute monster every day, you know? And so, yeah, it makes me feel good to listen to hear you and Bryce have that same type of competition between each other.
Yep.
Yeah, because it just makes you better, man.
Exactly.
It takes your game to the next level. So, you know, as we sit and talk about all of those superlatives, man, making big plays against the biggest competition.
Yeah.
Why in the hell are you not playing in the damn NFL right now?
Hey, man, that's my question to anybody that's at that level, honestly. I feel as though my resume spoke for itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I was versatile. I played the inside, I played the outside. I could only play the big slot role. I could play the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I just feel as though COVID is not helping it, but
right.
I at least should have got a shot somewhere. And I feel as though once I get that shot, a lot of teams going to be dumbfounded and be like, how do we miss this guy? How do we not pick him up? And at that point, it's going to be too late. I'm going to just put my head down and keep working. And always remember that I was bypassed. A lot of people put in front of me. With them not being better than me, with them not having the resume I had, with them not having the season I had my senior year.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I just feel as though once that opportunity presents itself, it's going to just be another chapter to the story.
Yeah, bro. You know, your underdog story will be epic.
Exactly.
Because it amazes me, man, because Cove hit the nail on the head. So you got a lot of players who get numbers, get stats, blah, 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 blah. But if it was a big game, that's when you play – like really elevated. Notre Dame, a top team, elevated. North Carolina, we needed that win, elevated. Virginia Tech, we got to stop the streak, elevated. We playing Clemson on the biggest stage. Oh, they got Isaiah Simmons and they got the other safety.
AJ Terrell.
You know, getting that work. You just moss two of them on the corner route. You know what I'm saying? You go to Florida, oh, it's a big stage, a big bowl game. They always known for their DBs. Even though the top one ain't playing, they still got other guys. Mossing them, elevated. And then these scouts and these database folks, all that film is there, and they don't have any excuse. I'm going to put it to you like they have no damn excuse at all. It's no damn excuse. They doing a disservice to guys like you who they always say the tape, because we see what people do in the underwear Olympics. That don't mean shit. Ross for Cincinnati running 4-2. What are you doing?
Nothing.
If you give me a guy that don't need a lot of separation because he got a huge catch radius and he catches with his hands, he runs great routes, he stem you, he's a big body, he catches everything, and you don't even bring him in. Like, to me, COVID is not an excuse, and it's unfortunate that COVID hit because even the CFL isn't available.
Yeah.
If COVID didn't hit and the NFL was bugging, CFL is perfect for you because you be in motion. And that's when they really see that they, excuse my land, they fucked up. I'm pissed off for you, bro. Every day, I'm pissed off for you. I see the Washington football team, the trash, not Iman, you know, Iman, he come from UVA, but the mother receiver's trashy. I'm an Eagle fan, trashy, except for the kid from ODU, salute to him.
Travis Fogle.
Yeah, but it just hurts me, man. And it's not because you went to the U and I know you, but real recognized, real men, Cub, don't sugarcoat anything. If you were just, I ain't, we'll just say, bro, like, you know, find a day job. But no, man, this to me is an injustice right here. It pisses me
definitely off.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I done played against some of the best in the business, bro. I done played against Hall of Fame wide receivers, bro. And, you know, it's like, I don't get it. You know, I've prided myself on being a talent evaluator. When I see talent, I'm like, okay, cool. Or, you know, when I'm like, all right, I'd love to see this guy do this, or I'd love to see this guy do that, you know. And I always like to look in a guy's eyes before a game. And, you know, I would be down on the field, You know, mm-hmm. I always find you. I look right in your eyes. We hug each other. And I'm like, yo, light them up, blow them out like candles. You know, mm-hmm. I knew you was ready every week, bro. I knew you was ready, brother. I'd yep. be so amped running back up to the booth. I'm like, boy, what? Hey, wait till they get a load of him today. You know, mm-hmm. and that's just how I felt. And so, you know, it really pisses me off when I see these bum ass receivers on a weekly basis out there knowing that I'm like, hold up, why are they not ringing this dude's phone? Why is he not there? Why is he not given an opportunity to make plays? And yeah, bro, that shit pisses me off too. So, you know, kudos for you for keeping your head, continuing mm-hmm. to grind and work. But you know, just because that's the part you can't control. You know, mm-hmm. and we talk about the controllables, you know, your attitude, your effort, and your output. That's all you can control. The rest of that shit, bro, you can't do nothing about. So exactly. Hey, don't even let that noise get into your mental space. You just keep the grind, and when you get your shot, make mugs remember. For real.
Definitely.
Make them remember. So
gotta put that foot on his neck and leave it there.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, look. Hey, like Sue Surf State Jersey with that emphasis. It's gonna come sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, for real. No disrespect to Surf, but goddamn it, have a third round, Surf. Pissing me off, man. Because I be getting hyped for you, bro. But let's backtrack. We'll get to that later down the podcast. I got to talk to Surf about. And people, this is battle rap we talk about. I gotta go back because I know the fans want to talk about the Virginia Tech game, the stop under the street. Not only that, but you had some violent stiff arms to the face. Ooh. Ooh. What was said during these violent stiff arms? You got the one Ooh. When you stiffed arm buddy head into the brick. You know, I see everything, bro. You know I see everything. So we on this show so we can keep it 100. You ain't in the program no more. Somebody asked me who was the best trash talk. I said, now that he gone, I can name drop and say Cease Dubois by far the last 3 years been the most disrespectful and violent one too. So what was said during those stiff arms? I know you said something. I know you did.
The first one when we went to the wall, honestly, mm-hmm. I was just, he was way out of position. And what he tried to do is he tried to cheap shot. He tried to just not be in my vision and try to knock me down. So I seen mm-hmm. him. So I know I wasn't going to get 20 more yards. So I slowed down for him. As soon as he jumped, I stiff armed him. And he held on. So as I'm stumbling, I just held on to him. And soon as he got near the wall, I just threw his head into the wall. And then that's when he backed up. And he didn't do nothing until his homie came over. And that's when Joe came over, hit the homie. And then we just started getting around on the sideline. And then the last one, the one that was for like 67, I just wanted to make sure to let him know that he was a Gerber baby. He wasn't talking to me by himself.
Paw Patrol.
Paw Patrol.
They don't know about that inside joke of Paw Patrol.
They don't know about that Paw Patrol. he was definitely one of those viewers.
That was the dog. I'm telling you, bro. You're a disrespectful MF-er. You know why? Because you just said you knew you couldn't go further, but you slowed down on purpose just to fap him in the face.
Yeah.
Hey, Cubs, go ahead, man. I'm mad for the DB now. That's some BS, bro. I ain't gonna curse no more. I done said the F word. We may have to bleep that out because I said it so violently. So I ain't cursing no more. But you gonna make me curse again. How you slow down just to...
Man,
that joint was so vicious, man. I mean, I was like this. Oh, every time I see the replay, it's like I seen it for the first time. But I'm like, God, yeah. I mean, it was just like you were just pushing him away like he was a little child. Like, get your way. And mind you, I'm that radio announcer that says stuff like, oh, get your way. He was telling him to get his weight up. He was telling him to get into the weight room. He was giving him all types of instructions as he was putting his paw in his grill. Man.
Violently, too.
Oh.
You know what, Hasees, man? Personal. One thing about you that made it hard for me and Cove, if we were on the... So if I'm working sideline and Cove up top and I'm running Carolina, I had to work up top. Yo, Hind Pots would actually... get us in trouble because our emotions would come out, be like, oh, and they'd be like, hey, like, you can't do that. Like, it's bad etiquette. But you would do something, and I remember once I was doing sideline, and I'm glad my joint ain't hot because I'd be like, oh, hell yeah. And I could hear Cove, and I'm like, oh, they couldn't hear me good because I forget.
but they can hear my ass. So I got that. I'd be like, oh,
yeah,
like,
they can hear him.
Yeah, bro. For real. Real.
You a manimal, boy.
Yeah, yes, sir. It was a problem. It was a problem. So look, going through this tough time, man, I know it's been tough because I know you want to be out there. And I know you and your mom are extremely close, bro. Mm-hmm. I mean, has she been kind of a thing that really has been there to kind of keep you going and keep you motivated?
Definitely. There's been times where sometimes I've been down and everything, and just she would just always say, just keep faith. Like, it's not your fault that you're in this situation. You did everything you could do. And she was like, just make sure you always stay ready, so you don't have to get ready when that call comes.
Facts.
Love that.
Boy, I tell you, moms, ain't nothing like moms.
Ain't nothing like them.
Nothing like moms, boy. Nope. I just remember my mom giving me that kind of motivation, man. Mm-hmm. You know, just throughout my career, you know, playing career, bro. You know, she never missed a game. Through college, you know, she never got to see me play pro ball because she passed away before that. But man, I just think about the lessons and the motivation that she gave me, brother, to get me through some really tough times coming up, man. And you know, bro, we gotta take care of moms, bro.
Definitely.
Love them while they're here, bro. Because mm-hmm. you know, you only get one. You know what I'm saying? You only get one birth mom. So
yep.
Yeah, bro. You know, and that's our motivation. We do things for them because we eventually we want to try to make their lives better if we get that opportunity. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, they done made mad sacrifices for us.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. I make sure them sacrifices don't go to waste.
Yeah, we can never fully pay them back, but we just need to let them know that we appreciate them, man. So it, you know, mm-hmm. kudos to Mom Dukes, man, for really keeping you lifted and elevated, man. When you know, during them times when you go through it, you know, and then now. And so, you know, our hope is that you're going to get that call. You're going to get that opportunity. You know, let's just go ahead and just claim that, you know, yep. We're going to claim that because that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So when you do, hey, as we used to say, light them up.
Blow them yes, out sir. Like that. Yes, sir.
Another thing I want to touch on, and you know what, it's good that you know how much I love you, because these type of questions, you know, I ain't coming from a malicious side, you know.
Yeah.
How was it? And because I went through this shit. So how was it for you? How is it for you now when you get those questions about, damn, dog, like, why, you know, when somebody be like, oh, you should be playing for them, or why you not doing this? Like, when did the pride finally leave where you was like, I ain't ashamed because I know it ain't because of me that I'm not there. So if somebody mm-hmm. asked me like, yo, why are you not in the league? You know, what happened? What's wrong? Type stuff. Like, what was that transition like for you to finally be like comfortable? Just be like, you know what? It ain't in my hands type stuff when it comes to the NFL.
Honestly, I would say probably the day after the draft, when everything was just, I didn't get no undrafted free agent deals and everything. I was just like, mm-hmm. it's not my fault. And people just kept asking. I was like, honestly, if I had an answer for you, I would tell you. Like, my answer is just as good as yours at this point. Mm-hmm. And I just wasn't letting it get to my head. I just take it with a grain of salt and just staying motivated with it.
Yeah, because I know I was getting, like, direct, you know, DMs, mm-hmm. text messages, because people don't talk to you. And I used to always tell them, like, look, man, like, I didn't want to talk for you. So I'd be like, look, whenever he want to tell y'all, he'll tell y'all, but I'm pissed off for him. So that's mm-hmm. why I asked you that, because a lot of fans that follow me that I know is going to listen to this podcast want to know your side, because it's just everybody's frustrated, man. It's like, that's why I exactly. said real, recognize real. Like, this is not like a fake type of, we're not selling the fight. Like, we selling a real, like, we ain't selling you. We telling them, like, it's a real dog right here. But I know from being in your position to when I got cut and people felt like I should be playing, I know how I felt when my homies and other people like, dude, you should be in the league. And I used to be like, dog, just shut the F up. Like, I'm tired of hearing about it. So that's why I just want to make sure, like, you in the, like, mental health is big for me. That's why I want to make sure, like, you in a good headspace. That's why I ain't keep, like, texting you, like, yo, dog, you hear anything? Because I knew how mm-hmm. I felt to get those text messages. I used to just tell you, hey, dog, get in these, get miles with your boy. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Make sure I got the miles.
Yeah, your miles ridiculous though, fam. For real, your miles ridiculous. You man, look. Hey, you know what? I remember when I was a young dude like you guys, and I could do all that running. Yeah, I can't do that. I'm all about that slow jog and predominant walk. Cause
I feel you. Though, as long as you're getting it in.
No, hey, miles is miles, bro.
True that.
Miles is miles.
True that.
And you jump rope too, cuz. Don't sell yourself short, dog. And you swim. COVID, you were swimming.
Bro, before that, I was getting it 5 days a weekend now. Cuz.
Oh, yeah. You was rocking by a boy out there.
Because look, if you haven't done a Murph, a half Murph, or a full Murph, then you know, you, bro. So, what that is. So, this was a part of my routine. This is part of my routine. You know, Monday, I would get my run in. Tuesday, I go to the gym and lift weights, you know, just maintenance stuff. But then I do a half Murph. So I would run a half mile on the treadmill. Then it is five pull-ups, 10 push-ups, and 15 squats, 10 sets of that. All right. Mm. Then you go back and finish up with a half mile. That's a half Murph. Now, a full Murph is a full mile, that 5, 10, 20 times, and then finish with a full mile. And then you just time yourself and you take yourself through that challenge. So I was doing that. So I would do that a half mile on Tuesday. I would do my half Murph on Tuesday. Wednesday would be my long run day. Thursday, I would do a half Murph and swim. And then I'm sorry. And then Friday would be my boxing day. I started boxing. So Wednesday and Friday were my 5:45 a.m. boxing classes. And you know, so bro, at one point I was hitting it pretty good for old fella.
Damn. I ain't doing that. This motherfucker is a lunatic. Good.
he's a maniac. I don't know about all that.
Ooh, my quads be gone. What's your workouts like during the week, Hasish? Because I know, you know, when you was getting ready for the draft and stuff, you know, you was working out with Joe. Y'all was in Florida. So, you know, the transition where you basically have to hold yourself accountable now, what has it been like for you working out on your own?
Honestly, during the weekdays, I usually go to the facility up the road. We get in, because I train with Muhammad Sanu's trainer. His name is Drew Lieberman. His Instagram is Side by Hustle. We usually get to the facility around 8 p.m. on the weekdays, work on ball drills, work on releases and everything. And that's like ball drills, releases, and like hand stretching is all we do on the weekdays. So each day.
Chris Carter work.
Yeah. And then on the weekends is when we really get into it. We got the top of the route stuff. We got the full routes. And we got just everything footwork. And this is going in with the football, throwing it. Get in and out breaks, using your releases, pairing everything together, and make everything look smooth.
Dang, bro. And that's without a celebration at the end of the week. People don't realize how hard it is to work. So you're working out every day to make sure you're ready.
Yep.
And look, every damn day you checking your phone to see if your agent called or left a message, and you get, you on somebody's short list. And I'm like, what the hell does a short list mean?
Yep, you still on a workout list or... Yeah. You were on a wait list or all of that stuff. At this point, I'm just waiting. When that call comes through, I'll be ready.
That's faith, though, man. You practicing faith.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. And what I always realize, man, you know, it's like your agent is working for you. Don't forget that. Mm-hmm. This is when you tell if you got a good agent or not. You know, when you out of work and he's supposed to be getting you workouts. You know, this is when he earned his money. You know what I'm saying? And so make sure you stay in that ass. Make sure you stay in that ass. You know, because like, look, dude, what you know, I want to hear the same conversation every day. Who you call, you know, and you really got to hold your agent accountable. Mm-hmm. Real rap. So don't feel like, well, I don't want to bug him. No, bug his ass. Yep. You know, if he want to get paid, bug his ass.
Hey, yo. Exactly. If Cub was talking in front of a bunch of young boys right there, they would have said pause like 5 times.
pause.
But Cub be like, man, I'm grown, dog. I don't do no damn pause. What is a pause? Hey, let me ask you this. Yeah, exactly. And I ain't messing with Cuff, because Cuff's strong. So would you have some trepidation if like indoor football team has a season and wants you to play for them? Like, would you say no? Would you play? How would that process go for you?
I'll take that opportunity and run with it. Basically get some more film and just stack that on top of my college film. Cause I mean, film is the greatest asset. You can never have too much.
True.
Thanks.
True. Good stuff. Yep. Good stuff. All right, man. Well, look, this has been dope.
Yes, sir.
So appreciate you, bro. And what we want to do is we end our segments, man, our episodes with a little bitty that's called Shut the Hell Up, I'm Underdog. And what that is something that pisses you off, but you're going to overcome it anyway. All right? What you got?
Honestly, what I got is just this whole process right now. I'm overcome it regardless of where I'm at right now. When I'm done with it, I feel as though I have made my mark in the NFL, and I'll leave my legacy with one to remember.
Right, right. Good business. I like it.
Yep.
Hey, you love it. I like it.
Yes, sir.
I love this. I done cursed enough, so I can't curse no more. That inflection of the F word took away all my other times to cuss. Yes, and they probably be like, man, I like that he said that F word so hard.
Yeah, bro, that came from your soul, fam.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, I get so pissed off when it comes to him, bro. I gotta chill out, man. It's my guy, and I be wanting to headbutt somebody on his behalf.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because, you know, I understand, like, you gotta be diplomatic. I'm gonna be the asshole that, you know, I went through it, so I'm like, man.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? But look, man, we wanted to get you on, bro, because real talk, man, we love you. We seen your progression. We know your heart. I know how hard you work, man. I think that's why I'm so like emotional towards you, because I know like how you was labeled a hothead in a sense, but they understood that's your gift and how you tamed that, how you overcame the weight issue, how you understood you had to get lighter, and how you understood that, hey, I'm not going to outrun dudes, but I'm going to do the hard thing if just catching what people draped over me. Like, you check all the damn boxes. Mm-hmm. What's the next in line? And like, I understood the undrafted part didn't bother me.
Yeah.
The no opportunity pissed me off, because O just showed them another guy that was our top receiver that made the Falcons, and then his first reception was for a touchdown over 90 yards. So it was just like, bro, how much more do y'all need? Like, our dudes can ball. And it just irritates me, bro. And I know why you really not. Like, I know you using that shit for fuel, and I'm just pissed off, man. Pissed off, bro. But I love you, man, a lot, bro. Like, I see myself in you, because I was a mouther also, and Cub was also. And I was a dude who had to lose weight my last year. I ran track and lost a bunch of weight. Then I didn't get drafted, then got cut, and had to wait on the couch and be like, I've been through your process, man. But I know that when everything opened back up, you gonna kill.
Yes.
You gonna kill.
Yes. Yeah. No question.
Yes. And
I done talked enough.
No question.
I'm making sure y'all know it today. I'm saying it. When it opened back up, things get back right. Mm-hmm. The DB's gonna feel me. Vets, rookies, don't really matter. I'm coming to everybody next.
Yeah. Everybody got to get that work.
Everybody.
And the fans everybody pulling for you, work. Bro. The fans still ask me after every week of watching. And shout out to all the fans. They know who I'm talking about. I ain't going to name drop them. But they ask me a lot about you, bro. And they care a lot about you. That's why I was anxious for you to come on so they could hear from you. Because, dude, you have a cult following in our fan base, bro.
Like, yes, sir.
Oh, they ride for you, man. So just know everybody at this university pulling for you, proud of you. We love you, one of the greats here. And hand-wise, shit. Them damn hands is legendary, bro.
Hey, and no doubt. You asked a question earlier about what size gloves I wear. It depends on the glove. See, if it's the more tighter ones, it's around a 4X. The more looser ones and the ones I could just wear for show, they're about 3X.
Wow.
Yo, that's Chris Paul. What, dog? That's DeAndre Hopkins size, girls. 4X. Do you like it with, like tight, like skin, or do you like him a little, like a little breathable?
Not like, I like him a little breathable, but sometimes I had to wear the ones with tight, like skin, because like when we wore the blue jerseys, we went all blue.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they didn't have the style of glove that was able to be baggy, so I had to get the 4X and the tight ones.
How many pair of gloves you go through? Do you get brand new ones every game, or do
yes,
you...
every game? But the thing is, I really don't. In my mind, I don't use the gloves. Aren't helping me. I just wear them for show. Because like, as you know, in practice, I rarely got gloves.
You don't wear gloves in practice. Yeah, I was about to say, for the fans don't know, he don't wear gloves in practice.
Yeah.
So you just wanted to be cute.
Exactly.
Look good, play good, baby. Look good, play good.
You play good, you feel good, you get paid good.
Facts. And your ass out there when it's below with no shirt on, something wrong with you. Put something on.
It didn't matter. I was at Military Bowl.
Yep.
What's that? Below 20, no shirt on.
Yeah.
I was at the Monsoon in Indiana. Yep. No shirt on.
The Tech game this year and last year. The Tech game last year and the year before, especially the year before down there.
No shirt on. Free.
I had on two hoodies.
Yeah, yeah, for real. For real.
Yeah, I don't wear no shirt. It don't matter if it's hot, cold, snowing, raining. I'm going to stick to that ritual. No shirt.
So it's built different.
I got a sidebar, man. You think Surf really gonna stay retired? He not quitting. He just retiring. He's still doing caffeine and stuff, but
I'm gonna be honest. I was with him the other day. He don't really care about battle rap no more, bro.
He can't. I mean, his music is doing major units. Like, he's a hell of an artist.
And that's what people don't understand. His music is doing like better than when he got in the rap in the rap battle stuff. So people used to be like, no, you can't do this. You can't retire because you're starting battle rap. But battle rap is just a stepping stone. Now he got the albums and the projects pushing in way more than what the battle rap do. And I mean, he really don't have to do it. He got Jazz under him. He got T-Rock. So it really don't matter. He got everybody still there.
He got Jazz under him for real? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he be with Jazz all the time.
I know she do the show with him on Caffeine, but I didn't know. Oh, that's dope, man. Just tell him this, though. At least stick around and be an analyst with Jay Black, because he dope when he's an analyst.
I'm gonna host the face-offs. He should, matter of fact, he should. Wait, did you see the face-off with him in 40 Bars though?
Absolutely. When he made it a date.
With the Lunchables, yo. Yo, he's a nut.
Yo,
bro.
he's hilarious. Nut. Like Sue Surf is a dude that he's like a dude I'll pay to watch. Like, I don't care if he got three rounds. I just want to hear him just talk slick to folks. And now I understand how y'all. Peoples, because you talk just like you. For all the fans who don't know, we're talking about battle rap. We watching on YouTube, URLTV.TV. Cub looking at us like we crazy. Like, what the hell are they talking about?
Exactly.
But all the players know that I love battle rap.
This is.
It is. So when I went to him, I think on Instagram, I shared like something, and they was just like, Hulk, you look at, because I'm old headed. I'm like, you look at battle rap, and I started rounding off names. They was like, yo, Hulk, look at battle rap. So him,
and then that's when Surf commented on my picture, and then he was like,
I went crazy. I fanned out, cuz like, yo, how Surf know you? He's like, they're my people. I said, oh my god.
Wow. That's all I can say is
Exactly. My bad. It wouldn't be right if I didn't ask him about Surf why he's here.
Absolutely.
And the fans like, what is a battle rap? Now y'all got URL, you got more fans now, because UVA fans gonna check you out. They're gonna look up Sue Surf. They're gonna
most definitely
be entertained. There's a lot of curse words. Okay, it's like when y'all see them locker room breaking the rocks that be cursing the curse words, because we heard it was an issue. Now they got to make sure all those videos are censored.
Yes, sir.
Wow. No.
Yeah, apparently, like Shane Simpson on his Instagram, he shared the breaking of the rock. And the song was uncut, which that's what we do. We play uncut music.
And
rub fans the wrong way, because I know kids are looking. So somebody took it from his Instagram and shared it. It wasn't UVA that shared it. Usually when UVA share it, they do, you know, they censor out.
They do their own music and everything.
Yeah, when I play music on my podcast and it's UVA theme, I censor out music, because I know you got to read the room. My uncut ones,
just straight curse.
It's straight gritty.
Yeah, that's his Instagram. Somebody shared it from his Instagram.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't get in trouble. Somebody shared
from his Instagram.
Though. Yeah, it just telling the players, like, hey, when we're breaking a rock now, or when you're in the locker room, just try not to share an Instagram story. Because
I mean, that's the ritual. Every time you win, you get on live. But hey, you know, everyone's different.
Yeah, that's what happened, man. You be transparent. Yeah. Sometimes your transparency can get you in trouble. Trust me, I know. Yep. Petty Hawk got me in trouble 3 years ago.
Yep. Hey, look, they be coming for my neck when I'm on the radio. So, bro.
Hey.
So, like I said, at the end of the day, I keep it eight past 92. They be coming for my neck. Oh, y'all need to squelch Covington. He's so negative. What? I keeps it 100. I gotta call it the way I see it.
And exactly.
I'm like, wait a minute. And no one is a bigger homer than me. I said the things that I say on air. I said I know these dudes. I will tell them this to their faces. So, you know,
ain't no hard feelings at all.
Nah, bro, I'm like, hold up, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
I played the game maybe a couple years.
Aziz, I'm glad you said that. They should know. Now they know, because Aziz just said it. When Cov says things, they feel like it's harsh. The players know Cov. They know it's not from a malicious standpoint. It's an accountability standpoint. It's greatness standpoint. So right. I'm glad that we didn't have to prompt you. You said that on your own. It's not
malicious.
Yeah. Right. That's it. Whatever. And we'll pick up the phone and call, talk that week. Be like, hey, how you think you played this week? What you see when you saw the film? And that's what we do. You know what I'm saying? But fans don't know that. They just like, oh, you know, I'm like, all right, come on, y'all. Some of y'all can go play in traffic for real.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Hey, yo.
It is what it is.
I usually call it Black Jesus, but I got a bald head talking right now.
Oh, y'all crazy, bro.
People don't know, man. Me and Cub talk on the phone a lot, bro. So this he my OG, but he's not my OG. Like, he my brother, like my big brother. And he tell me to say, he tell me save stuff. He's like, oh man, hey dog, come on, man. You can't be doing that. I'm like, I messed up. Damn, my bad.
Yeah.
I mess up a lot. I admit it. I mess up a lot. I'm a hothead sometimes, so I gotta.
Yeah, it beats like that sometimes.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I don't go on Twitter during the games no more.
Bro, we gotta keep each other from going over the edge.
I'm so protective of players doing Twitter, boy. I'll be ready to pow. Hashtag Petty Hawk. Pow. Then I gotta
let
stop.
Let it loose.
Start getting emails. Yeah. Hey, Ahmad, we got this screenshot. Yeah, I'll be like, damn, my bad. All right, man. We done kept a cease.
Well, fam, you keep the grind steady.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. You keep the grind steady, fam. And keep us posted, man. You know, we always here for you, the brotherhood. It's always a friend.
Yep.
So we love you, brother. Support you. You still rocking your Underdog shirt?
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Oh, he said it with a serious face, too.
Okay.
Hey, I got the long sleeve Underdog shirt.
Just, you know.
Then I got the good as the enemy of great. Shut the hell up, Juice shirt. Come on. I'm rocking it. It don't really matter.
Let me tell you something else that his people's mad about. He got a 1-2 Petty Hawk Superman emblem red Shut the Hell Up Juice shirt. So most time I make Petty Hawk shirts, the emblem is black. It you know, it's the same color as him. I made a red one for me, and he hit me up. It was like, bro, I need that one. And he the only one that I ever sold the one with the red. I called it a Superman Petty Hawk emblem.
Ooh.
That even Joe was like, dog, why I ain't get that one?
Hey, Hulk. Can I get can you make that in a purple Petty Hulk Superman, Joe? Just ask it for a range.
So you want, so is the hoodie purple, or you want the hoodie black and then Petty Hulk purple? Like what? We could freak it, you know?
Let's chop it up about that later.
Hey, look, fans, don't get mad if y'all felt like we talked a lot. We just have fun. Because I know some people, goddamn, they talk more than Aziz. Yeah. But so this is what I wanted to do. I felt like I know I talk more than Aziz this episode. Aziz, is there anything you want to, you know, say to the fan base before we get out? Because like I said, man, you got a cult following. They definitely love and support you, bro. So the floor is yours just to, you know, salute the fan base.
Most definitely. I just want to say I appreciate the support, regardless me not being at UVA anymore. I just love the support. I mean, it just keeps me motivated. And I mean, I can't wait to see it once UVA open back up and we got allowed to have fans back at the game. I'll definitely have my face there a couple of times. I got to come back to the home. I got to his mandatory and then watch them boys play and greet the fans again.
Facts. Share your handle too, so just in case they don't know your Twitter handle and stuff.
I'm trying to. My Twitter handle.
Oh, yeah. How do they find you?
My Twitter handle is Dubois_5K and my Instagram is A_Thrill_.
Yeah.
That'll work. Yeah. Now y'all know how to catch up with
it. Just had a birthday. Happy blessed day. My God.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, hold it down, fam. Hey, keep chasing greatness, fam.
Yes, sir.
Keep chasing greatness.
I appreciate y'all. I love y'all boys. And thank you for letting me in here again.
Absolutely.
What? Thank you.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for
us. No doubt. Anytime.
Well, fans, that's it for this week's edition of The Lockdown featuring T-Cove and Ball Hawk. With our special guest, Hasis Dubois. We call him
sir.
Sorry for talking so much, fans. I got excited. My bad.
We are out.
Yes, sir.